and at home, connecting good people to great causes. Check out Project Shine and Volunteer Match
at 1700thechamp.com. KBGG Des Moines, a Cumulus sports station. 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Online at 1700thechamp.com. Steen on Sports is on your radio now.
Welcome in and happy Tuesday. Come on now. It's 50 degrees outside and sunny. How does it get any better than that? You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Have a great lineup today. It's going to start, and I'm going to introduce her right now. Tiff's in here with me. Tiff, how are you today?
So good. This weather just makes me happy at the core. And you know, when it was, what was it? I don't even know what the temperature swing has been in the past week, but
50 below.
I'm ecstatic. And I was outside, like, I don't know, shoveling my yard.
There you go. You know, and I, my youngest got a new pup, and if she comes home, I'm going to have to do the same but it's going to be melty. She's going to be a mess. So that's just crazy. But welcome, and I'm glad you came in today. We got a lot to talk about. I also have Tony Cotillo coming in today at 5. I forgot that I changed. I have Chris Tubbs coming in at 4:40. Tubbsy and I are going to talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves changing coaches and some of the players. Well, some of the players around the league aren't very happy, but we'll have to see what players are on his own squad or what they feel and how they hired a new coach. If you want to check us out, you can go to at Steen on Sports at Twitter, at 1700 The Champ for Twitter. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ, and the website for The Champ is 1700thechamp.com. You can listen to the show live. Podcaster coming. We had two of them done, and trying to get Mondays up as soon as I can. I'm getting better at it. It's still taking a while. I told Tiff coming in that I was cutting some BetMGM liners, and if you do want to bet in Iowa, use BetMGM. Download the app. It's easy to use. Great deals coming up for boxing, for basketball. It's always fun and really easy. So if you're going to bet in Iowa, use BetMGM app. So, Tiff, I said cutting commercials, man, I was just clicking through. I had a couple that came back because it was like they want more emotion. And I'm like, okay. And I these two that they wanted more emotion on, I was cutting them the other day. And I could not finish a minute spot. I mean, I was messing up really dumb stuff. That's another thing. You know, sometimes I don't think people understand how difficult it is to talk like this, and especially when there's not someone in here. When there's someone in here, it's easier because at least you can bounce stuff. That's why I love having Tiff on, because I always have somebody I can bounce off ideas with. Cutting commercials.
Right?
Cutting commercials is not easy. Those people that do it and do it so well, kudos to you. I have no idea, but wow. I mean, I was sweating, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I'm the only one here. So, you know, that's just the way
it
is.
Well, when it becomes scripted, it all of a sudden becomes hard, right? Ad-libbing and conversing is one thing.
Right.
But when you have to start reading a script, it just becomes really mechanical, and you can mess it up easy because you're reading and you're not being, you know, there's no inflection in your voice. You don't seem fun enough. You don't seem funny enough. You don't seem serious enough, whatever it is. And I screw that up too.
I do. So I think I need a mirror so I can at least see my face. So if I'm, you know, not, you know, smiling or whatever. But so the last one I did was, it was boxing. Canelo Alvarez and Avni Yildirim. Like, okay, the last one I get for the day, I have to pronounce those two names. I'm horrible at pronouncing names. So we'll see how that and the station that's promoting the fight is either Dazn or it's D-A-Z-N. So I don't even know if I did that one right because I didn't know. So
get ready to redo them.
I know. So and that's what I was doing today. But crazy news today. So I had a bunch of stuff to talk about today, but I mean the news of the day is early this morning, 7:15-ish California time. And I can't believe that it took until mid-afternoon for stories to start breaking. But Tiger Woods was in a pretty severe vehicle accident, a single vehicle accident. It said where his car ended up was 400 feet from where the crash happened to a resting spot in a pretty deep ditch. And I know that the last that came out was that he is in a hospital with leg injuries that everybody's saying, it says multiple leg injuries, so that's never good, especially when you're a golfer and have a bad back. And but not life-threatening as of right now, so that's good. I mean, the last thing that I talked about yesterday, and I hope I didn't jinx the poor guy, there was a big knockout, so I wanted to get your opinion on this too, so we'll just tie them in together. The big knockout was you had to drop one of these guys. And it was, it was Wayne Gretzky, it was Michael Jordan, it was Tom Brady, and it was Tiger Woods.
Drop them from what?
It's a knockout round. So it's a knockout. So you have to knock one of them out. So you can only have three of those four. And then they knock down to two, and then they knock down to the one. And I mean, I spent the last segment of the show last night saying, you know, I would love, I of all the things, Tom Brady's won seven championships, but he hasn't changed football. You know, I mean, he's just a really good quarterback that wins. Wayne Gretzky changed hockey. Michael Jordan changed the NBA. And Tiger Woods changed golf. So I was going to knock Brady out, but then I'm like, you know, when you're talking a big group of people, what's the one sport they all love? It's the NFL. So
But you don't think he's changed football? I mean, you don't think he's changed it in the aspect of the longevity of quarterbacks, the relevance of past a certain age that now became a thing, right? Only two people looked at him when he was leaving the Patriots. And there's a lot of teams that needed a quarterback that passed on him because he thought he was, you know, decrepit. And then he comes in and proves everybody wrong. Now, whether it's because he just knows how to coach and manage or because he actually is that good of an athlete, he kind of changed the dynamic of how the expiration date put on people, athletes, football players, especially in the quarterback role.
But his crazy part with that, and I agree with you. I mean, I in the end, I didn't take Tom Brady out of my first knockout. But my thought was, okay, he didn't change the way quarterbacks are acting, though, or doing, because I don't see other quarterbacks eating avocado ice cream and working out with a guy and have his attitude. I think that he, as an athlete at his age, would win that knockout, you know, just for that.
So you're saying he's just a freak.
He's just a freak. I mean, there's no Peyton Manning didn't win seven championships, but for touchdown for touchdown was with him. But Peyton Manning retired 6 years ago, 5 years ago. I mean, four, but I mean, he retired a ways. I mean, the last quarterback to do what he did was George Blanda. And that wasn't all he had to do was drop back and hand the ball off. I mean, what Tom Brady did. And I think in the end, that's why I didn't knock him out first. I knocked out Wayne Gretzky, even though Wayne Gretzky, I mean, hockey, When you think about if you've ever watched Miracle on Ice, and we talked about yesterday was the 41-year anniversary of that, and it's one of my favorite movies. I love Kurt Russell, and I just love the movie. You know, the way they played hockey, I mean, that's kind of the way the NHL was. And then all of a sudden, here's this kid that comes in, a skinny little tall kid, and all of a sudden he had every move and every slap shot and leads in scoring and assists and goal. I mean, everything. And he's just amazing. But I thought yesterday as a whole that, you know, that would be the first one I would knock out because you know, there was a lot of people that loved Wayne Gretzky, but you still don't see people wearing Wayne Gretzky stuff, you know?
Right. The only person that would challenge that would be Schaaf, right? He's the only one that's going to...
Because he's a hockey guy, and I'm going to ask him tomorrow.
And I love hockey.
I do, too. And I remember, I mean, I started watching hockey because of Wayne Gretzky, and I love the way he played because then he played the Red Wings, and the Red Wings just tried to beat the heck out of him, and that's how they were, you know, and that's how they won a few of their Stanley Cups. And then Gretzky leaves Edmonton and comes to L.A., and he did change hockey somewhat, especially on that western half of the United States when he went to L.A. I mean, he did change and you know, just brought a whole different, you know, with the long, curly hair, and I mean, he was just amazing. But, you know, then I was stuck with Jordan, Brady, and Tiger, and you know, I came down to, so I knocked Brady out next, then I came down to Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods, and I picked Tiger Woods, even though the whole entire time leading up to it, you would have thought, here's what I think sets Michael Jordan apart from all the basketball players right now, and I am finished fighting because what LeBron James is doing, I just want to put them both on a mountaintop and just say, here you go. But the funny thing is there's teams in the NBA and there's actual players that actually pay him to wear his stuff. That doesn't happen anywhere. You know, nobody else is wearing Tiger Woods stuff. Nobody's wearing Tom Brady stuff. People are actually...
So is the goal of this, is your knockout to get to the most influential athlete?
Yes.
Of all time?
Yes.
Mm-mm-mm.
So then...
Yeah.
But my pick then was... Okay, what Tiger Woods did too, though, is he brought a whole new generation, African Americans. I mean, just anybody. He brought everybody wanted to be a golfer with him. I mean, it was really tough. It was great, and I have to give credit. It came from Murph and Andy, and Murph and Andy are great at these. And so I robbed from them because, and I gave them credit yesterday and said their stuff that they do is the best. I would love to be either one of them. But
who did they anoint?
I don't know if they've said, and if they did say, it just wasn't on Twitter because I didn't get to hear it. So maybe I'll try to look that up. But so what do you, I mean, who would be the first you would knock out, and then who would you anoint out of the other three?
I think I was on point with you for the first two. I'm not sure I would have ended up, I probably would have ended up with Michael Jordan.
Yep.
Just because, I mean, not only with basketball, but every aspect, right? The marketing, the advertising deals that still continue, right? His influence on basketball still, whether it's The Last Dance, we talked about that, what, last week? And, you know, if people are still paying him to wear their stuff.
Oh, yeah. And he owns a team. He owns a team. And he owns a NASCAR team. I mean, so he's taking his, and I mean, who, you know, when you watch McDonald's, I mean, Gatorade, I mean, those, he was the start of, you know, I remember like the McDonald's and Gatorade started with like Magic and Larry Bird towards the end. And then Michael came in and he just took over advertising. I mean, nobody else. I mean, Charles Barkley every once in a while, but I mean, Michael Jordan was everywhere.
And I think he's still relevant too, because there's still conversation around him all the time, right? Like Tom Brady, okay, greatest of all time. He's still playing. Tiger Woods, he's been up and down. And it seems like besides the fact he was great, the controversy that followed him personally, you know, kept him relevant, but it didn't really have much to do with the sport. And Wayne Gretzky still, I mean, his son-in-law is Dustin Johnson. So, yes. I mean, he still keeps in the news a little bit, but Michael Jordan, between the conversation about him and LeBron, and it seems as he is as relevant in basketball conversation today, you know, depending on the aspect, than either of the other three.
I agree. And see, good that's choice. Why I changed my choice yesterday, and he has a crash today. So, I mean, that's my kiss of death right there.
It's all your fault.
It is. And we got a couple of minutes in this segment before, and then you're coming back on for the next segment. Big Ten today named Iowa and Penn State co-regular season champions for wrestling. And now they have their Big Ten championships, I think, are March 6th and 7th, and then they have the national championships. Iowa hasn't wrestled since February 6th. And they just, and you have, I'm trying to think of the two conferences. Let me see if I can dig through. You have a well, the Mountain West and the I'm going to find it here. But you got a couple of basketball leagues that are looking at trying not to have either to stop all their games right now or to get them to their conference tournaments or not have a conference or not go to the conference tournament knowing they're still going to get into the NCAA. And the NCAA kind of opened this up because the NCAA said, hey, listen, the conferences are the one thing that they have to do. They have to give us one at large. That's the only thing they do. And we don't care how they get it. They can play, they can send them, whatever they want to do. The NCAA doesn't have rules on that. I thought it was horrible for Iowa and Penn State to have to share a title and still to have to go into the Big Ten duels and then go to the national duels without having wrestled for a month. I mean, how tough is it for, I mean, it's tough for everybody, but wrestling kids, come on.
Yeah, that is, I was just watching the state tournament on TV that was down at I call it Vets.
Yeah, I do too. I do it all the time. And then I have to say Wells Fargo so I don't get in trouble.
Wells Fargo. But that's such, I mean, that is such a crazy sport. And I don't, I'm not as well versed in that as in so many, you know, so much of the other stuff that we talk about. But that, you know, Wolfgang, he had no, I mean, that most utmost respect for wrestlers because they are just, you know, bad bleeps. They are,
oh yeah,
they're tough. And I think that a month away would be a long time. I mean, why can't they just be like the Ohio State football team and only have to do a couple and still make it all the way?
I agree. And I would have had a Twinkie, a couple of Twinkies, and probably more than that. All right, we got through the first one, and it went way too fast, as always. So Tiff and I will be coming back. We got some other just news headlines to go over. We'll see if Tiff has anything she needs to talk about. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Come back, see what Tiff and I have to say right after the break.
Brewed in Des Moines, you're listening to Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back and happy Tuesday, everybody. Hopefully everybody got out and enjoyed a little bit of sunshine today and a little bit of heat. And man, is the snow melting. And it is a crazy drive out there. If you come home tonight after dark, be careful. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. I got Tiff back on for a second segment. You there, Tiff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready and waiting. Ready and waiting.
There
Steen.
You go. And it went fast. Boy, that these breaks go fast, too, when you have so many things to talk about. I watched a little bit today, Big Ten Network. The Iowa Hawkeye women did not fare well against Maryland, but Caitlin Clark finished 34-7-3 today and was 9-for-16 from the three-point line, her fourth 30-point game in a row for a freshman at the University of Iowa. Crazy stuff.
She is just insane. And she's so fun to watch. And Iowa State has a really good young freshman.
Lexi Dornoski.
Yes. Yeah, like those two girls are really, they're fun to watch. And they're, the way they play basketball, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's crazy.
And then you throw Aubrey Jones in there, too, at Iowa State. She's a freshman. I think those three played together on their team that won a couple of championships in the AAU or whatever you want to call circuit that they in. And I think Ashley Jones, I think Aubrey and Caitlin played up and played with that group, too. So a lot of talent. And when you add Grace Berg and the Drake Bulldogs, and I keep saying that Tanya Warren is such a great coach at UNI that, you know, sometimes they're far enough away instead of just all being in this so you can touch them kind of, that we forget the great programs at UNI too. So how is everything? You said a really interesting thing during break that due to COVID and what it does to businesses. And one is, you know, airlines, they say they're struggling. I don't I don't know if they're struggling or not. I know that Jen and I, she wanted, it's our, oh my gosh, I think it's 30. I just set myself up to fail. I do believe that it is 32 years. We are going to take a quick hop to Las Vegas, staying at the Flamingo. She's always wanted to stay at the Flamingo. I think we're going Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, coming back Wednesday. And we had no problem. I mean, it's crazy. Airplane.
No, there's no problem getting.
Yeah.
I think when they say they're struggling, it's because they've reduced their fleets.
Right.
So, you know, they've Southwest Airlines, you know, is a client of ours, and just the layoffs and the risks that they've had to do just because, you know, they're reducing their fleet. So while sometimes the airline prices, like if you're going around spring break, like we are, we're still astronomical. It's because they're not, there's just not the amount of flights that were going out before. And you just wonder how long the ripple effects of what's happened over the past year will last from a business perspective. Oh. You look at commercial real estate, you look at airlines,
restaurants,
you know, and there was a huge percentage of our revenue that was spent on traveling. I mean, that's part of great relationship building is face-to-face interaction. And without that, you know, it changes the dynamic of all sales that happens and, you know, client management and retention. I mean, it just changes that whole dynamic.
And that's what you just, you said during break is it may be a couple of years before you're back to what you were before COVID in traveling.
Yep. I mean, I was probably gone, I don't know, 1 to 2 weeks, a month, you know, during the week, just traveling to different places. I maybe would come home sometimes, but that's a lot of travel to go, you know, and went to a screeching halt, at the end of February of 2020. So we're hitting a year and, you know, it's a lot. And I'm really sad about my airline points and my hotel points are not accruing anymore.
So going to Flamingo, flying into Vegas, not at bad times, really good times, getting back at a good time. And it was $600 for the two of us, for the hotel and the plane. That's just ridiculous. So kudos for her, you know, and that's, she loves to do that stuff. If she would be a travel agent if she could, but she also remembers doing all the spring breaks for people and how painful that is if things don't work out right. So she said, yeah, I'm okay with what I do, but that
is, you'll just start traveling more.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's nice. It's nice to get away and we're able to get away because even both of us, if we get away, we still can do, you know, at least 75% of our jobs. If we have an emergency or we need to do something, we can do that from anywhere. So, you know, it does make it easy. And the fact, you know, that used to be frowned upon, but the fact now that everybody's working from home, as long as the work gets done, I don't think people care.
Yeah. And, you know, on the upside of that, it's made us a little bit more, it's opened up opportunities from a hiring perspective because we're not confined to where our offices were. So, you know, since everybody's remote, you can kind of hire anybody that's qualified versus, you know, it's not dependent on where they live in the country. So that's opened up lots of opportunities, hopefully for other people and, you know, enhance our business as well.
And that is, I was thinking about that and the one thing that's happened during COVID and, you know, we're going to lose a lot of restaurants too, but a lot of restaurants have done a 180 and figured it out or tried to figure it out. And this is what we're going to do. And then, you know, every time we can squeeze in another person, if I'm allowed, we'll keep doing that. And the one part with all of this that I think people are struggling with is Wi-Fi connection and broadband internet for people, for schools. A lot of problems Des Moines schools and all the schools in the area are having is they just don't have enough bandwidth to get what they need from the children to them and back to the children. That's something that, you know, the federal government tries to help wherever they can. But that would be one thing that I've been thinking about daily is you need to upgrade that in case this ever happens again or you get a point where, you know, I was thinking about this too. If a school needs to remodel, now we have a way for them to do that. Okay, we're going to go remotely. We'll do it from somewhere. But you can't do that if we don't all have the same kind of Wi-Fi connection.
No. And it reminds me of those commercials that have been on. Yes. Was it Tom Brady? And I mean, there's so much miscommunication, and there is nothing more annoying when the only type, you know, avenue of meetings is Zoom or Teams. Ugh. And, you know, somebody has that. It's like, oh, you have to repeat yourself 100 times, and it's kind of comical. We have a bingo game that we play, you know, based on how many times somebody reintroduces themselves, or can you hear me, or are you still there? It's just like,
I love it.
It's frustrating, but yeah, the internet connection, I've had to boost mine up when I was here too, just because you can tell the bandwidth is not good.
No, and it's not. And there's no provider out there that can provide excellent, you know, service that way. It's just not out there right now. What I always did, I'm not thinking that my wife is on Zooms all day. I would bust into the room, and so now I've changed my tact a little bit. So every time I bust into the room, I'm either bringing her coffee or food. So if people see me, they're not saying, oh, look, it's her stupid husband coming in the room again. They're saying, hey, look at that loving husband bringing her food and drink. That's what I have made myself into, trying to make people like me, that just to make them think I'm trying to be nice.
You just need to wear like big Scene and Sports shirts.
Yes.
Carrying a little banner behind there, all that advertising you get.
Little free advertising. That is the best. Talk a little football. So Jeff Bezos is trying to buy the Washington football team. Now this guy has, you know, I think he's a trillionaire, but he just doesn't want to be the first one. So I think he just keeps himself at like $989 billion. So nobody can say, okay, he's at a trillion now, so we're going to take half his money or something. It's between him and Elon Musk. But the Washington football team did a really good job this year changing their name and bringing in a Ron Rivera, who survived mm-hmm. cancer and you know, it started to turn the team around, made the playoffs. And, you know, if you bring somebody in, and that's been the thing with Daniel Snyder, he had money, but he wanted a football team in Washington to make more money. Bezos wants to make it so it's going to be, that's going to be one of those people that's going to turn the tide, right? You're going to be able to go to the Washington football team if he buys this, and you can. They'll probably give you an iPad on the way in, and you can see all the all the stats, and you can do your fantasy football. And I mean, think of how amazing, without taking all the bad stuff that's happened with Daniel Snyder and their squad and their management, but having someone that thinks outside the box to be an owner of a football team is exciting.
Well, he's an interesting guy. You know, you'll get the people that are like, I'm so sick of hearing about him, or, you know, whatever the tone is about him. You have to give him credit for his ability to see the big picture and opportunity. And I think that's interesting. I think it would be great. I mean, I love the fact he bought Whole Foods because the prices are a little bit cheaper.
Yeah. And he actually was, I heard him on a radio station. He goes, listen, this is a great thing and I can make it better. And the only thing I had to do to make it better was lower prices. And all I had to do was renegotiate with people.
Simple.
Yeah. I mean, the others didn't want to do it because they wanted to make this amount of money on each sale. And he's like, I want to make this amount of money on each sale, but I'm going to double my sales. Nobody thinks that way.
I think he would be an interesting change up to that franchise that, you know, they've done a pretty good job status quo, you know, changing the perception around it because, you know, perception's reality and they were kind of hurting there a little bit. But he's, you know, he would make that team a lot more relevant quick.
Oh, I totally agree. And I like the fact that it was that, you know, it was that team. You know, there's other teams that he could have, but it was that one that he wanted. And, well, you brought up such a great thing. I listened to a whole hour on him on a podcast about the whole Whole Foods thing and what he does with Amazon. And it's just, he said, listen, I wanted people to be able to get something and get it quick. And if I have to cut my profit margins for a while, what I'll do is I'll just keep adding product and it'll be more expensive product. And then will be fine. And he's fascinating. And I like that. He's not Jerry Jones, who he wanted a football team because he wanted to make money. And he made a ton of money. And he's still making a ton of money. Even, you know, they said, well, the power went down, but natural gas was okay. Well, who has the most natural gas in Texas? Jerry Jones. So, you know, and on everybody's backs, he probably made another $3 or $4 billion. So, you know, it's in a whole different world than what you and I live in, Tiff.
Exactly. I don't think they worry about the same costs I do.
No. Not at all. I can't even imagine. How excited are you for the we got about 3 minutes of how excited are you about the Hawkeyes coming up with this? They have a chance, Tiff. If they could win these next three games, they have a chance that they could jump over some people and definitely be on the two seed slot. And if they win the Big Ten, they could jump up to a number one seed if they could win these games out.
Well, so first of all, I'm not sure I want you talking about them if you're as big of a jinx as you say they are.
I just ruined it. Sorry.
Stay away from all topics I like.
They're gonna lose to Wisconsin now. I'm sorry.
Totally gonna lay an egg. But that game against Penn State, I mean, I don't know about instill a lot of confidence. Their abilities are off the chart, right? So they're still number one on KenPom for offensive efficiency. That's huge. But you never know where it's coming from, which is a little scary, right? So as the teams have gone on and as the season is marching on, teams are figuring out a better way to contain Luka Garza. And if it works and he's semi-hot, you know, the defense collapses, then the outside opens. But our outside better be on in order for that to work. And with C.J. Frederick back in, I mean, he's such a great kid. I think he changes the dynamic. But, you know, there was a couple times I was like, wasn't sure. I kind of was watching through my fingers that were kind of, know, slightly open. That doesn't feel good, but they turn it around. So what, we came in 9 this week?
Yep.
From a rating perspective,
I think we'll, and
our
we'll
defensive
hop up.
Efficiency is above 100 now. We're sitting at 97th, so we were down below 100, which was bad. And I'm not a man-to-man person, especially for the Hawks. They just don't think they play that well, but that has really come around like the past 4 games. So
you just have to
figuring that out. Yeah. Yeah. So then we had Luka Garza, all-time leading scorer. That happened the last game. And then the other thing that's amazing is this was the 5th straight game that the Hawks held their opponent to below 70 points.
Love it. Love it.
I mean,
I'm not going to say
crazy.
Anything more.
no more words from you. They're looking good. And Fran's using his timeouts. It's apocalyptic. We're going to keep on this stretch and hope that they can move up to even get a second seat. I'm excited.
I am too.
John Miller's going to come on with us too.
Next week, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
A man who lives and breathes Iowa sports. Steam on sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in. Happy Tuesday. Hopefully everybody's enjoying this great day. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. My next guest is Chris Tubbs. He's at CM Tubbs. He's kind of our Minneapolis guy, and we have some things to talk about. Tubbsy, how you doing?
Good. What's going on, Steen?
Man, it was 52 degrees here today. Tubbsy, what is it up there?
I think we are at 40 right now, so
that's a good day.
once it gets over 32 and we start to see the melting, I'm good, man. Everything else is gravy.
Well, I sent you a message today that I wanted to talk about the Timberwolves coaching hire. But before we hop on that, which I think is intriguing with all the different, it seems like more players in the NBA are concerned about it than maybe some of the Minnesota people. But Tiger Woods today, and you know, I talked about it earlier. In your In your mind, what is Tiger Woods to the sports and or I don't even know. I couldn't even get mine down to sports. Just in our society as a whole, to you.
He is, regardless of what you think of him, you know, off the golf course and, you know, whatever he might have had going on, you know, with his marriage and relationships and whatever. The fact is, he is an icon who, at his best, was untouchable in his sport. I mean, he was one of a kind. I mean, he was a brand unto himself. And, you know, today, we don't, a lot of people today, if you didn't see him when, you know, the Masters back in, well, like 99, I mean, they don't understand how good Tiger was at his peak. I mean, and he intimidated people. I mean, he scared people. And he's one of those guys that he only has to go by one name. When you say Tiger, you know exactly who you're talking about. Everybody knows who you're talking about. He transcends pop culture, and you just hope that, you know, this is something that he's going to be able to recover from. Maybe not even ever play golf, but just a quality of life. And, you know, thoughts go out to Tiger Woods.
I totally agree. And the really funny thing, so I can't remember exactly his number of cuts made in a row, but it was over 100. And the only person that's came close, and it just ended 2 weeks ago, was Rory McIlroy. He was at 26. I mean, that's just freakish, people. I mean, that to make that many cuts and be, you could even say make cuts and be in contention. I mean, Rory's made some cuts just barely, and it wasn't in contention. So a lot of his records are going to stand for a long time. And the fact, and you're correct, he got into that, where he's that one name, the Tiger, the Nicholas, the Jordan, the Brady, the Gretzky, that's what they have going for them. That's how well known they are. So,
think about his longevity too, Steen.
Yes.
He's had so many rivalries, from Vijay Singh to David Duvall to Rory McIlroy to Phil Mickelson. It's like he's always had these challengers. It's like, you know, Tiger and Phil, Tiger and Rory, Tiger and Vijay, but yet it's always the one constant is Tiger Woods. You know, it's the old Ric Flair, to be the man, you got to beat the man, and he's going to go down as one of the icons in golf. I mean, absolutely incredible.
I agree. And around the world, and it doesn't matter. And there's a lot of people that are very concerned today, so that's a good thing. You and I have talked about this before, I like Coach Saunders. I think he's an up and coming coach. It was a difficult situation. They haven't had what they thought maybe would be their starting five on the floor. You and I talked about Anthony Edwards last week, and what a dunk he had, by the way. Wow. I mean, that's his athleticism that will sell in Minnesota. So the team gets off to a bad start, and he gets fired. And a lot of teams, normally, Chris, in the NBA, teams just hire from within and go. The Minnesota Timberwolves took a different route. What did you think about that?
It wasn't really surprising that Ryan Saunders got released of his duties. It was just a matter of the timing. And, you know, there were some people that thought that, well, you know, maybe you wait until the All-Star break, or you wait until after the season. The fact that yesterday, when they had this press conference, that Gerson Rosas said, hey, you know, this is the guy that we want. This is the guy that we feel is best for our franchise. They went out and got him now because they didn't want to do the interim franchise thing. You know, they didn't want to do the interim head coach and do the search. You know, Chris Finch was a finalist when Ryan Saunders got the job. But Ryan Saunders, the impression, at least up here anyway, is that this was, you know, Ryan Saunders was a Glenn Taylor hire. Chris Finch was the guy that Gerson Rosas wanted to bring in from the start. And now this was essentially, you know, Gerson Rosas going to Glenn Taylor and saying, hey, okay, we tried it your way. It didn't work. Now let me go out and get my guy. Because the fear for the Wolves was that if they got to the offseason and some of these other jobs became open, that Chris Finch might not be available to them. So they feel like he's their guy, so they went ahead and made the move.
Before I talk about the assistant coach that has some of the NBA players kind of up in arms, let's talk a little bit about Chris Finch, because I happen to be Nick Nurse went to UNI, a year after I was there. I was a sophomore when he was a freshman. Great kid. Has gone from the bottom and made himself a very, very, very good NBA coach. And he had this to say about Chris Finch. He said, "I believe right now that he may be the best offensive mind in the NBA." Coming from Nick Nurse, that's done what he's done with the Toronto Raptors with, you know, not a ton of money. You know, they don't spend like some teams. I think that's a great fit, because I think he's going to fit into what people, if you want to get the Timberwolves and you want to get the fans in there, they don't care if you play good defense. They want you to play really good offense.
Yeah, and one of the things that he's also known for is developing bigs. So there's a guy in Denver by the name of Nikola Jokic, known as one of the best, most versatile big men in the NBA. He's also helped in developing, you know, Boogie Cousins when he was an all-star. So he's got a track record of working with big men. And right now, as much as we love Anthony Edwards up here, the face of this franchise is still Karl Anthony Towns. So when Cat's on the floor, one thing that Coach Finch said yesterday during his press conference is, we want to get him the ball more in the flow of the offense. Because there were times where there'd be five or six possessions where the ball didn't even touch Karl Anthony Towns' hands. And when Cat doesn't have the ball, you're not going to have much success when your main offensive threat is a rookie. And granted, he's a hell of an athlete, Anthony Edwards is. But at the end of the day, Karl Anthony Towns has got to continue to stay in the flow of the offense, especially when you're trying to close games out. And that's been a real bugaboo for the Wolves. So there were a lot of things that Wolves fans are – it's a nice change of pace for a lot of Wolves fans to hear what we were getting out of Coach Finch yesterday.
I agree. We got about 2 minutes left. These just go too fast with you, Tubbsy. The coach, the assistant coach was David Vanderpool. He'd been with, mm-hmm. with Portland, well-respected, you know, and so some NBA players are not impressed that he didn't even get an interview or any of that. The one thing about it is it's the Timberwolves, and they shouldn't be worrying about it anyway. I think David's going to find a job quickly, and from what I hear, he's very good at what he mm-hmm. does too. And I do agree that they need to have interviews and they need to do that, but I agree with what you said. They knew who they wanted, and this is the guy, and it was the second guy that they probably should have taken before. So what do you say to, you know, some of the NBA players that are upset about it?
The strength of David Vanderpool is defense, yeah. And the Wolves have not improved enough defensively. I feel that they didn't, you know, David Vanderpool, the team hadn't improved defensively enough maybe for him to feel like he was going to get that shot.
Yep, I agree. And you know, I want that. I want it in the NFL. I want it everywhere. I think everybody should have a fair chance of getting an interview. But it can't be mm-hmm. you can't be mad at Chris Finch, because from everything that I've listened to today, and I've tried to listen a lot, nobody was saying a bad word about Chris Finch either. And it's not like he wasn't very deserving to finally get a head coaching job.
Yeah, and tonight's going to be very, very curious. There are a lot of people that are very curious about what's going to happen tonight, because, I mean, Wolves and the Bucks tonight, so a lot of people are going to be glued to that game.
And that's a very important game, and I'm excited that you guys got over 40-degree weather. Minneapolis is one of the best places to go to, especially when it's warm out. I can't wait to get up there and watch some baseball and get up there to get to see you this summer. So, Tubbsy, as always, thank you for coming on and giving us great insight on what's happening up in Minnesota.
You're welcome. And, when you come up, let me know, and I'll even let you plug in your car.
There you go, man. You're awesome. All right, buddy. Have a good night.
Yeah, I am. All right. See
you. Bye-bye. Chris Tubbs, that's where we're at with the Minnesota. Now we're jumping to go to Philadelphia, but I'm going to get some talk about Tiger Woods with Tony Cotillo coming up next at the top of the hour. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Tony Cotillo, Steen, talking Philadelphia sports next.